12. And I appreciate you testifying and minding the Lord and allowing God to use you this evening. I appreciate the Lord meeting with us. And I give you the thought that the Lord has put on my heart for this evening. Genesis chapter number 12. I had thought about saving this for another time and preaching something else. I thought about going to the end of the Bible, going to Revelation, and we ended up in the beginning over here in Genesis. And I believe this is what the Lord would have for us this evening. The book of Genesis chapter 12. Preach a little bit about Abraham this evening. When you found your place, let's stand if you would, and we'll read a couple of verses of Scripture here and just use this a little bit as our starting point. And we'll ask you to keep your Bible open. We'll stay in the chapter mostly this evening, Genesis 12. But the Bible said in Genesis 12 and verse number 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that curse thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Father, I love you, and I'm so thankful, Lord, for your spirit that's been here tonight. Lord, already your presence that's been manifested. God, I thank you for the testimonies. I thank you for the singing. God, I'm thankful that we know that you deliver every single time. Lord, you always have. You are right now, and you always will. And God, for a few minutes tonight, we ask that you would meet with us in a special way around your word. God, I pray that you give me the vocabulary and the expression to say exactly what needs to be said. God, fill me up and just pour me out, Lord, to be used for you this evening. Father, I pray that you take the words of the Scripture and make them come alive, Lord, in front of our eyes tonight. God, would you meet with us in a special way, touch our pastor, these way preaching. God, would you fill him and anoint him tonight? God, would you anoint me as we open the word this evening? We ask this in your name. Amen. You can be seated. I begin to think about this here. It's one of my favorite characters in all the Bibles, the character of Abraham, probably my favorite of all the patriarchs, and I just started over my Bible reading recently and going through the life of Abraham again, and I begin to notice some things in this chapter that pop up over and over again that caught my attention, and one of those I want to preach on tonight. But I want you to notice me first of all this evening by way of introduction, the call that is received in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham," there was a plan in this call. He's very specific and very clear in what God would have Abram to do. He told him to go unto a land that I will show thee. And so there's a plan. The plan was to go seek for a land, but there was a process, and this process was to separate from loved ones. The Bible said, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." And so in this plan, this call that God is giving to Abraham, there is a plan that is set in place here, but this plan has a very specific process that needs to be followed. Abraham is to leave his country, he's to leave his family, he's to leave his father's house and go unto this land. But then there's a promise in this call. As the Bible said, "I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee and make thy name great." And eventually he'll go on to promise that the Messiah would come forth out of Abraham's loins. And so there's a call that is received here in the first part of this chapter. But if you'll back up with me in the last part of chapter number 11, I want you to notice with me the city that is reached. Notice chapter 11 and verse number 31. This is stepping back in time. We're going backwards a little bit. The Bible said that Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son's Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And so we're beginning to get an idea of this story that's taking place here. For whatever reason, it seems that when God had appeared to Abram in Mesopotamia, and Abram began to tell his family about this trip and this journey that God had planned for him, Abram forgot an important detail of this, and that was the fact that he was supposed to leave his family behind. Abram begins to tell his family about what God is doing and the things that God is speaking to his heart about, and they all want to get involved. They said, "Let's go with you. We all want to go to Canaan together." And so the Bible says this, that God had told Abram specifically, "You're going to have to leave your country. You're going to have to leave your kindred. You're going to have to leave your father's house. You're going to have to separate from everything and everybody to go to Canaan." But the Bible said when they actually took off, the Bible said that Terah took Abram and Lot and Sarai and his daughter-in-law, and he led them forth to go into Canaan. And so it's interesting that God has called Abraham to do this great task, but by the time they actually get started, Terah has took over. And what you'll find is that they head in the right direction. They're headed for Canaan. Ur is on the way towards Canaan, but somewhere along the way, they decided to just park for a while in Ur. Decided to stay for a while there. They've got the right determination. The Bible said this, that they went to go into the land of Canaan. They've got the right direction. This is a stopping point along the way to Canaan, but they stopped short of the destination because the Bible said that they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And so what we've learned so far is this, that God has spoken to Abraham and God has called Abraham to go, to leave everybody, to leave everything behind. But somewhere along the way, Abraham got it confused, and now his father Terah is leading the way and he is leading them to Canaan, but they stopped short in Haran. And the Bible says this, that Terah died in Haran. All the right ideas, but it's not they were headed in the wrong direction. They stopped short of where God would have Abraham to be. And Abraham's learning that stopping short of full obedience will also stop you short of full blessings. And Abraham has to wait in Haran until Terah dies. Years that they're wasting in Haran with God's call upon his life. So there's a call that is received, a country that is, or a city that is reached. But then I want you to notice with me this, the country that is realized. Go back into chapter number 12 here in verse number 4. We're picking up the story after Terah has died. And the Bible says this, that so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Abram is 75 years old by the time he is finally on the way to fulfilling God's will for his life. The Bible said that Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And I like this phrase, one of my favorite phrases. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. They set out, they had one goal in mind, and they accomplished exactly what they set out to do. Man, God help us to get one goal and one purpose and one desire to just set out to do God's will, and nothing else needs to be said other than the fact that we accomplished God's will for our life. Nothing else needs to be said other than well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now Abraham has finally made it into Canaan. 75 years old, Abram has made it into Canaan. When you find that he gets into Canaan, God begins to move and God begins to work. There was an appearance in Canaan. The Bible said in verse number 7 that the Lord appeared unto Abram. You don't hear anything about the Lord appearing while they were in Haran. There's an altar that is built in Canaan. The Bible said in verse number 8 that there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Abram is growing in his walk with the Lord, and Abraham is drawing closer to the Lord here in this country. But then there is an approach that is mentioned in verse number 9. The Bible said that Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Abram is headed farther down into Canaan. Abram has been called by God to go into Canaan, to leave everything behind. He makes it on to Haran, where he has to wait until his father dies. And now Abram has finally made it God's will for his life. There's a country that is realized. I say this, there's a conduct that is real. You begin to think about Abram's life, Abram the patriarch. Abram lived in Canaan. Man, I want it to be said in my life, you know, Canaan to be a picture of living a Spirit-filled life. I want it to be said that Andrew lived in Canaan. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything more than that. It doesn't have to be anything greater than that, that man lives a Spirit-filled life. He walks with the Lord. Abram is living in Canaan. He'll spend most of the rest of his life in Canaan. He'll walk with God in Canaan. He'll raise a family in Canaan. He'll bury his wife in Canaan. And when it's all said and done, Abraham will be buried in Canaan. Abram's going to spend the rest of his life with just a few short departures living right in the middle of God's will for his life. I think about this, Abram's conduct. He lived in Canaan, but Abram loved the Lord. You think about Abram as the only man in the Bible who has the distinction of being called the friend of God. Abram is noted as the friend of God. He was God's friend to the point where he could haggle with him in prayer over those that were in Sodom and say, Lord, would you spare him for 50? Lord, would you spare him for 40? Would you spare him for 30? Abram had a relationship with the Lord that was real. He loved God so much that he was willing to sacrifice his only son to show how much he loved the Lord. Hebrews said that he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And the Bible said this about Abram, that these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Abram spent his whole life living in Canaan and it never became his. But the Bible said that he died in faith, not having received the promises. Abram loved the Lord. I'd say this, Abram left a legacy. You think about, he is one of the two men that through the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ had to come. If you wanted to see if a Messiah could potentially be arising, you had to go back and you had to see if he was of the lineage of David and of the lineage of Abraham. Abram has left a legacy. All throughout the New Testament writings, you'll find over and over and over again where they mention Abraham and Sarah as examples of faith and as examples of submission. Abraham has left a legacy in Canaan. But I think about this, Abraham and his conduct. Abraham lost his way. Because you think about this, Abraham, for all that he was a man who was flawed, just like you and I. Abraham was a man who had failures. Abraham was a man who made mistakes. What's interesting about Abraham is this, is that his sins were rarely sins of passion or sins of anger or sins of greed. You think about a lot of the patriarchs and sins that they committed. You think about Jacob stealing the birthright from his son. You think about Moses even going on down murdering a man. You think about David committing adultery. Abraham didn't commit any of those big sins that we would call them. They were just small little things, little simple things, little small things that the devil just kind of presented as a good idea. Just kind of seemed like it made sense at the time. Seemed like it all just kind of fell into place and all came in together. And Abram wasn't scheming to murder. He wasn't trying to take over the world. But what you'll find is scattered throughout the story of Abraham is where he falls prey over and over and over again to these things that just looked like good ideas. Just seemed like a really good idea at the time. And the devil is really good at this. If he can't get you with the big things, about just the small things, and the simple things, and the scary things even, that he comes and he just paints us, well, that makes a lot of sense if you would just do that. And see, I know it doesn't really seem like God is coming through right here, so tell you what a good idea. The devil is really good at getting us to fall for the good ideas. Abram's not known for any major crimes, any flagrant offenses, awful acts, or big sins, but what you'll find is just some failures that were just good ideas. I want to preach from it tonight on that thought on good ideas in the life of Abraham. Good ideas. I want you to think of me, first of all, about the ideas themselves. The first one is found here in verse number 4, chapter 12. Abram had an idea concerning obedience. The Bible said this, that Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. We talked about it earlier, but there were three distinctions that were made in God's call to Abram. He had to leave his place. Abram, he was told to get out of that country, to leave everything that's familiar, to leave where you grew up, to leave the land of your nativity, to leave what is secure and trade it for a land that I will show thee, to walk by faith and go to a place that I will give thee. But you're going to have to leave this place, is what Abram was told. Abram was told that he would have to leave his people. The Bible said this, that he would have to get out from thy kindred. Abraham was to separate himself from his nation so that God could build a new nation through him. And Abraham was to leave his people behind so that God could raise up a new people unto himself. Abram was going to have to leave his people. And then Abram was going to have to leave his parents. The Bible said this, to leave his father's house. Abraham was going to have to get out from under Terah's rule. And Abraham basically was going to have to leave everything and everybody behind but God. Abraham was going to have to get out under everybody's rule but the Lord's. He said, leave thy country, leave thy kindred, and leave thy father's house. And Abram's tried this once before. He and Terah went off on the expedition to get to Canaan, and we saw how that ended up. And it's amazing to me how that when Abraham is finally past Terah, Terah's out of the picture, and Abraham's finally headed to Canaan, what does the Bible say that he does in verse number 4? The Bible said that Lot went with him. It's interesting. Verse number 5, the Bible said that Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son. And the Bible said they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. It's so amazing to me that how that Abram could ever think this was a good idea. I mean, Abram knows exactly what God told him to do. Abram knows exactly what the rules are. Abram knows what the restrictions are. He saw what had happened last time he tried this, but the devil still convinced him it'd be a good idea to, why don't you just bring Lot with you? Like, well, how could he possibly think that it would be a good idea? I want to say this, all the same ways that we fall for it, I'd say this, that it seemed like a good idea because of Lot's association. The Bible says this, that we know this, that Lot is Abram's nephew. He's family with Abraham. Lot, we know this, is an orphan. The Bible says that his father Haran has died some years ago. We don't know how old Lot is, but it's assuming that he's probably pretty young. And we know that his father has died. And so from all indications, it seemed that Terah may have took Lot with them on their way to Canaan to watch over him and to guide him and to take care of him in the absence of his father. And he is very closely associated to Abraham because he is his nephew. All the while, Terah is guiding him right out of the will of God. But Abraham could be told it was a good idea. Well, that's your nephew. You got to take care of him. I say this because of Lot's aptitude. You say, what do you mean? Well, we get in chapter 12, verse 4, verse 5. The Bible says this, that Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son. And notice what the Bible said. And all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. They have increased and they have grown in business and they have increased their wealth. But then the Bible says in chapter 13 that Lot's flocks and herds have grown to a point now where they're so large that they're beginning to compete with Abraham's. He is becoming as wealthy and as large and as powerful as his uncle Abraham. And I can see Abraham looking at Lot and saying, man, he would be a help in Canaan. Man, I could use him if he would just work for me, if he would stay with me. These first years in Canaan are going to be hard. And Lot's good with the flocks. And Lot's got a touch for bringing the herds up and for taking care of the animals. Lot would be good to bring along to Canaan. He would be helpful. It just seems like a good idea, because Lot's pretty talented. He could be a help. He'd be a good partner in business. He'd be able to help Abraham survive those first couple years in Canaan. All the things the devil is putting in Abraham's mind, oh, it's not that big a deal what God said. This is a good idea. But I say this, it seemed like a good idea because of Lot's attachment. See, Abraham now is responsible for Lot. Terah's taken Abraham, he's taken Sarai, he's taken Lot, and he's brought him into Haran, and now Terah's dead. What are we going to do with Lot? Lot's got to go somewhere. We've got to send him somewhere. Now Abraham is attached to Lot. He's got to do something with Lot. And we know that there's family back in Mesopotamia that Abram could have sent Lot back to. But for whatever reason, Abram thought it'd be a good idea to just disobey God and bring Lot along to Canaan. So what happens? The devil's really good at taking what we know is right and getting in our ear and saying, oh, it'd be a good idea to just, I know what God said, but this is a real good idea. This makes a lot of sense. This would be helpful. This would help you a lot down the road. Abram is falling for a good idea concerning obedience. I say this, Abram fell for a good idea concerning opportunities. Look at verse number 10. The Bible said there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. There's a problem here, and the problem is this, that there is a famine. You know that Canaan, for everything it was, Canaan wasn't heaven. There was battles in Canaan. There was sin in Canaan. There was war in Canaan. There was defeat in Canaan. The Bible tells us that the Canaanite was in the land. There were very vile and very wicked people. And Canaan was a very wonderful place, but it doesn't mean there wasn't problems in Canaan. And I tell you, the most spirit-filled Christian you've ever met is not without his problems. He is not without his trials. He's not without his tests. He's not without his temptations. And Abram knows he's going to learn a lot about God testing him throughout the years. We're going to get over into Genesis 22, and God's going to test Abram about his son and see what Abram will, how he would respond. But in this first test, Abram doesn't fare quite as well. The Bible said there was a famine in the land. The Bible says this, that Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. Abram's serving, and he's living for God right where he's supposed to be, but there's a problem that's come up, Brother Laddie. But then there was a place. Not only was there a problem, there was a place. The Bible said that Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. Just so happened that when this problem came up, all of a sudden there was a place that seemed to have the solution right in front of his eyes. Abram's been headed on down towards the south. Egypt is right at the south of the promised land. Why, Egypt's got bread, Egypt's got corn, Egypt's got everything we would need. It makes a lot of sense to just slide down into Egypt, other than the fact that Abram's leaving the promised land. Other than the fact that Abram's leaving Canaan. Now, I've got a problem. Lord, you see, we don't have any bread. And Lord, you see, Egypt's got bread. It makes a lot of sense if we could just slide on into Egypt and get the bread there. Abram has a problem. Abram sees a place where he can fix it, and Abram comes up with a plan. The Bible said that Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. You notice what that word sojourn, you know what that means. It doesn't mean to go to stay forever. Abram just says, we're not going to go forever. Egypt's a wicked place. Egypt's not where God wants us to be. God wants us in Canaan. But while this problem is here, and while we have opportunity, it makes sense to just go down into Egypt to sojourn there. Just spend a little time there. And Abram's coming, he's got all these problems, but he's got a place in front of him, and he comes up with a plan. Everything had just lined up too perfectly, but it just seemed like a good idea. Abraham has fallen for a good idea. Everything just lined up and it made sense, other than the fact that nothing God had ever asked Abraham to do before made sense. God came to Abraham and he said, I want you to leave where you're at and go to a place that I'll show thee. I didn't tell him where to go, didn't tell him how to get there, didn't tell him the name of it. God never expected Abraham to do what made sense. God just expected Abraham to do what he said. But now you'll find there's a problem that's coming up in the land, and Abraham is not thinking about things in God's eyes anymore. He's like, well, what makes the most sense? Going into Egypt just seemed like a good idea. But then I say this, Abram fell for a good idea concerning obstacles. Look at verse number 11. The Bible said, and it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, Thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Abraham's house. One thing has led to another, and Abraham has now left the land of promise, and he's living in Egypt. And what you'll find is when you start following all these good ideas that the flesh puts into place, it just leads one thing to another, and all begins to pile up on top of each other. And now I'm having to sin in order to cover up this sin and to make it all work. And Abraham is now remembering a promise that he made with his wife. And Acts tells us they made this promise all the way back in Mesopotamia before they ever left. Abram came to Sarai and he said, "Look, hon, I know you're gorgeous, you're beautiful." And he said, "What's going to happen is we're going to get in these places and they're going to kill me because they want you. So I'll tell you what you could do, be real helpful." And it's always been humorous to me to think about Abraham trying to talk Sarah into this. He said, "Now I'll tell you what we need to do." He said, "You just lie and you say that you're my sister, and that way they'll save me and we'll be all right." And Sarah agreed. I can't imagine what she was thinking. I don't understand all that. But Abraham now is coming back to her and said, "You remember that promise that we made? Yeah, we're going to have to get that out because we got to go into Egypt." And I know we probably shouldn't go into Egypt, but that makes the most sense right now. And so what I need you to do is to help me and to lie for me right here. And Abram, it just seemed like a good idea for them to do this because there was a need for this lie. See, Abraham had been promised that he would have a son. He's never going to have a son if he's dead in Egypt. He's going to have to help God out. He's going to have to make sure that he lives long enough to have the son. If Abram dies right now in Egypt, God will break his word. And so Abram decides what he needs to do. He's got a good idea to protect him and God. And I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll lie about this, and so that way God's word's not broken. Isn't it amazing the thinking that God, that the devil can get us to go to when we're just looking for the good ideas? Abram, he said, "Oh, there's a need for this. If I die here, God's word will be broken." They're the nature of it. It wasn't Abram telling Sarah, "It's not a real lie. It's not real bad. You're half my sister anyways." I mean, it's not a complete lie. The necessity of it. You know what's amazing is that Abraham was right. Abram went into Egypt, and exactly what Abraham had said would happen, happened. Every bit of it came true. And Abraham said, "Man, I'm glad we had that covered. Man, I'm glad we thought that through. I'm glad I thought about that." The devil got Abraham to fall for all these good ideas. Got to help God out. You know, God's going to break his word if I don't help him right here. Man, this situation that the Lord has brought us into, I got a good idea for how we can fix this. The good ideas that God, or that the devil has brought into Abraham's life, the ideas. I think about this, the implications. What happened when they went through with all these ideas? Well, these ideas always led to strife in every one of these situations. You think about Abram and Lot. Eventually, they had to separate because of the contention between their cattle. The Bible said that their herds increased to the point where they couldn't live together, and they separated, and Lot went to Sodom. You think about when they went down into Egypt, it led to everything that we just read about taking place here, and eventually their lie is going to get found out. They're going to be embarrassed. They're going to be ashamed. Every one of these good ideas led to strife. Every one of these good ideas led to sin. And you think about this, I wonder if Lot would have ever made it to Sodom if Abram hadn't brought him with him. Wonder if we'd ever have the stories of God bringing them out of Sodom and his wife being turned to a pillar of salt and the sin they're going to commit later, all because of Abram's good idea. Man, I wonder if they'd ever had to lie about their relationship if they had just stayed in Canaan. I wonder if any of the things that took place surrounding this would have happened if Abram had just not fallen for the good ideas, the things that would have made sense. I wonder if Hagar would have been in the picture. I was the Hagar was an Egyptian. Ishmael and everything that we deal with today is the results of that. I wonder if any of that would have happened if Abram hadn't fallen for the good ideas. Every one of these good ideas started out so simple and it ended up so much bigger than what they had in mind. But every one of these ideas led to sorrow. You think about Abram having to watch, Abram having to pray, and Abram having to agonize with God, begging God to save Sodom because Lot was there. You think about the sorrow of watching his wife be taken away by Pharaoh's soldiers, the sorrow of a ruined testimony. Bad things always happen when we fall for these good ideas. The ideas, the implication. But I think about this, what's the instruction? What do we learn from these things? I'd say this, it cannot be a good idea if it involves limiting our obedience. See, the first half of Abraham's life was spent outside of Canaan, due to incomplete obedience. The rest of his life, he's going to have to be watching out for Lot, saving him from the enemies, going in and praying over him to be brought out of it. Sodom, after it was caught on fire. Everything Abram does revolves around Lot because of his obedience. If Abram had just sent Lot back to Canaan, or Lot back home, none of that would ever happen. Can I say this, that it cannot be a good idea if it involves limiting our obedience. If anything, if the good idea the devil has brought in front of you contradicts you obeying God, it cannot be a good idea. No matter how much it makes sense or how much it doesn't make, if it goes against God's word, it is not a good idea. I'd say this, it cannot be a good idea if it involves leaving God's will. You cannot convince me that it's a good idea to leave Canaan and to go into Egypt. Show me a place in the Bible where it's ever been a good idea to leave the land of victory and go into the land of defeat. And if the good idea that the devil has brought in front of you is going to involve you having to leave the land of victory and go back to the land of defeat, I promise you it is not a good idea. If you can't live a spirit-filled life doing that good idea, I promise you it's not from God. It cannot be a good idea if it involves leaving God's will. I'll say this lastly and I'm done. It cannot be a good idea if it involves lying to others. You think about this, the second thing in that list of things that God hates was a lying tongue. And if we just take these principles, these ideas, apply them to our life, I wonder how much different these good ideas would look after we put them through the sieve of God's Word. You think about Abram, he never really fell for giant, colossal sins. He wasn't a murderer, he wasn't a thief, he wasn't a conqueror, he wasn't like Jacob, a trickster. He wasn't David the adulterer. He wasn't Moses the murderer. He wasn't any of those things. You could even be argued that his relationship with Hagar was legal. He was married to Hagar. We don't find any big, dark sins that Abram committed. What you do find is a lot of sorrow, a lot of strife, and a lot of sin because of the little good ideas that the devil brought into Abraham's life. We're standing all over the building. They're going to come get us a song ready. In every situation what Abraham struggled with were the little things, just the good ideas. Abraham, you think about this, all these happened inside of Canaan. We're not exempt from temptation. We're not exempt from the devil coming while we're living for God. But can I tell you this, no matter the sense that it makes, if it involves disobeying God's word, it's not a good idea. If it involves leaving God's will, if I can't live a spirit-filled life while I'm going to do it, it's not God's will. If it involves lying to someone else, it's not a good idea, no matter how much sense it makes. No matter how different the situation is. I mean, the situation that Abraham was in was pretty rough. There was a famine in the land. There was somewhere where he could go get bread. It just made sense to go to Egypt. But if it involves leaving the spirit-filled life, I promise it is not a good idea. We're just going to sing this evening as she begins to play for us. I wonder if God spoke to your heart tonight. Maybe it's about something little. Just about something that's just a small thing. Just seems like a good idea. Maybe it's going against the Word of God. Maybe it can't do that and live the spirit-filled life. Maybe it involves a lie. I don't know what it is, but I think if we'd ask these three questions, I think it would get a lot of it out of our life. Can I do this and fully obey God? Can I do this and live a spirit-filled life? Can I do this and fully tell the truth? If you can't answer those three things, I promise it's not a good idea. No matter how much sense it makes, no matter how good it seems, I promise it's not a good idea. We're singing tonight, You Come to Business with God.